Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse number 1. All night long on my bed I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city, through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him but did not find him. You may be seated. I want to say good morning to the congregation. It always is good for us to be here, knowing full well that God has beat us here, and he's waiting for us to come and assemble that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. And what a good day it is for that to happen, for God has willed it to be so. Somewhere over the rainbow. Somewhere over the rainbow we look and we find life. We find ourselves escaping from all those things that keep us in that state called alone. Somewhere over that rainbow, God has said, I will never, ever. And he has never. Somewhere over that rainbow, God has made us a promise that he's always going to keep. He has made us more promises than we can think or imagine, and God is faithful in all of his promises. You see, God never designed man to be separated and apart from him. And what we are experiencing in this day and age and this time in our lives is certainly not what God had in mind. We are never ever and have not ever been forsaken by God. I want to read you here this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. And the Bible says these words, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service had been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. You know, for 70 years in captivity, God's people had been all alone. They were alone. But God had never meant for them to be alone at all. They were alone because they had sinned and forgotten who God was. They were alone and had left themselves in a state of sin that had made them all alone, without God and without hope in this world. But God says that I want you to speak to my people, Isaiah. And I want you to comfort them because it's been a very long time since they've acknowledged who I was. They've been satisfied to just be alone. Comfort my people, says your God. God is going to comfort his people despite the disaster that we bring upon ourselves. God is there for us. God says that he, first of all, in this book of Isaiah, he has a people. He has a people, and he has never forsaken them. And he will never, ever forsake his people. God is willing to be that God and is willing to take possession of these same people who wish to be alone and apart from God. He still searches and reaches out for those people. He says in Genesis 6 and 7, in Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, I will be your God. And you will be my people. In other words, I'm going to be there for you. You don't have to be alone in any situation. I am God. I will be your God, and you are going to be my people. Never alone, God says. Never will I forsake you, no matter what you are going through, no matter what station in life that you might find yourself in, no matter what this carnal mind can think, God will never, ever leave or forsake you. Speak tenderly to my people, Isaiah. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and Speak to their hearts. Speak to the hearts of the people. And let them know that their time of service is fulfilled. Their time of punishment is ended. You don't have to be alone, church. All the things that we put ourselves through, tending to sin, advancing our lives because of sin, and forgetting who God is and where God is, and even not even calling on his name. He says, listen, I am your God, and you are my people, and your service, your punishment is ended. No longer do you have to sit in that timeout corner alone. He says to the children of Israel through Isaiah, your time has been fulfilled. How long are we going to continue to punish ourselves for the things that we have done when God has came and rescued us? Our time of service, can you see it? It's fulfilled, he said. Second of all, this is what God says, the God that we know and love. He says that your iniquity is pardoned. Sometimes you can do your time and not ever be pardoned as a result of doing that time. That's not the kind of God that we serve. So you do your time and you're left alone because nobody wants to forgive you for the things that you've done. That's not the kind of God that we serve. He says your time is fulfilled, first of all. Second of all, you are completely pardoned. Your sins and your iniquities have gone from my sight, and I've put them behind my back. Third, God says through Isaiah that your sins have received double. Doesn't mean that they received twice the punishment that they deserve. Rather, at this particular point in the scripture, it's an idiom to say that God has matched your sin with payment. He's matched your sin. There's no sin out there in this world that we are a match for, but Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, God has sent him. Not only has he matched our sin double, he has taken our sins. Good morning to you, church. I want you to understand that no matter what it is that you might be going through in your life, whether it's happy times or sad times, good times or bad times, God will never leave you alone. Some people want to be alone. Some people isolate themselves. They don't want to be around anybody else because they just feel like they've got it all under control. We find ourselves sometimes alone in our sins because we just like Mikey, we like it. But God continues to reach down and he calls for us that he might lift us up from the dregs of sin, that we might not be groping in the darkness, and he picks us up and he sits us by his side that we might not be alone. Thank God for Jesus, doubly matched our sins. I don't know in the world who would want to be alone. Can't understand it. But there are people who want to just be alone and let you know, just leave me alone. Let me believe what I want to believe. Leave me alone. Let me serve God the way I want to serve God. Leave me alone. Let me go to the church of my choice. Leave me alone, would you? But the God that I serve, he gives us this amazing declaration. And he says that I want you to hear my purpose. My purpose is not for destruction or isolation, but my purpose for you is redemption of your soul. We live our lives too much, church. In all the things of this world, we're just too busy with those things of the world, and we leave our souls behind. We leave our souls alone, isolated, separated from God. But it doesn't have to be like that, because God has said through the prophet Isaiah that I'm going to comfort my people, and I'm going to pardon their sins and let them know that their sins have been paid. No more living alone in sin. No more being ashamed and forsaking God, but thanking and praising God that he has not forsaken us. God is different from man, isn't he? He's different from man. I want you to understand, church, I want you to understand that God never designed man to be separated and apart from him. And what we're experiencing right now is not what God had in mind. It's just not. God has never forsaken us, but the person sitting beside you, all that flesh that's in us, that which we call man will always forsake us when they have the opportunity to do so. Man has forsaken man over and over and over again. 2 Timothy 4, 10 through 11. Yet Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. How many people have forsaken the ones that they say they loved and have departed because of the love of this present world? Husbands are departing wives because of the love of this present world. Wives are departing husbands because of the presence of this world. There are mothers that are just deserting their children and putting them at the fire station because they love this present world, leaving them all alone with nowhere to turn. And the desolation and sadness. You might not admit it this morning, church, but each and every one of us have issues in our lives, and we find ourselves sometimes alone, and we need to talk about that. And when we talk about it, you understand that the God that we serve will never, ever leave you alone. He is in the business of rescuing you from yourself and from your sins. Talk about it. Cretans went to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you. He is profitable for me into this ministry. I don't know to what extent Paul was alone. We read that without those who had left the faith and those who had left his physical presence to minister elsewhere, and we read that the verses that are selected, it makes me to think that he may be concerned not just over their absence physically, but as well as other spiritual conditions that these people were going through. We need to not leave each other alone because there are spiritual things that we are going through that Satan just relishes in. He wants to isolate us. He wants to divide and conquer. God has never, ever meant for us to be. You with me? With me? What's that? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. And God said, it is not good for man. You with me? Brother Collins, I'm not making this up. Chapter 2, verse 18, God said that it's not good for man to be alone, so we ought to stop leaving each other alone in our misery, in our financial condition. Stop leaving each other alone in what we call love. I think Paul understood what it meant to be alone. I know he did. Think of those former friends that he had to leave behind because of the gospel. The simple fact that he left them behind is because they were incompatible with his present profession of faith. Listen to me. He could never enjoy the same relationship with those people ever again, because they were opposed to Christ and his mission. And Paul was fully dedicated to Christ and his mission. You see, light and darkness cannot dwell together. It just can't happen. Those people despised whom Paul adored. I have former friends. I do. I have former friends from whom I've been separated due to the gospel as well. I have those, and you may have those as well. And listen, church, we need to talk about it. At times I do miss them. I do. And I wish things could be as they were before, but they can't. Not until and unless they repent of their sins and bring their lives into conformity with the Lord of my life. The Lord that can be a part of their life as well. Things could never be the same until they obey the Christ of God. I want you to think about the family members that Paul must have left behind upon his conversion. I want you to think about that continued rejection of the Savior who made Paul the man that he had become. Maybe there was a family member that Paul left behind who taught him how to fish. It's near and dear to his heart. Or maybe there just was an aunt who baked him goods and cookies and all, who was dear to his heart. She loved him so much. But you got to leave him behind for the sake of the gospel. You're still not going to be alone. There's still going to be your family. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34 through 39, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace but a sword, for I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake, you're going to find it." It's nothing like being alone with Christ. Amen. Not like being alone and having your day just understanding the will of God and what he has for you in your life. You will never, ever be alone in Christ, because God will never forsake you. Never. I don't know much about the aspect of Paul's life and how he dealt with his family. But I know that in my life, it hurts at times because my faith separates me from my family. Let's talk about that now. Some folks want to be separated from their family because of their faith. They want to hold on to that 70-year-old tradition of their grandmothers and not on to God. They want to be their own man and make their own decisions about their religion and about their lives and how they're going to get to heaven. It's already made. God has already wrote those things down for you to read. They're there. But we want to make up our own mind how we're going to go to heaven. Well, I know my old grandmother made it in. You don't know nothing. What you ought to know is that you don't have to be alone, because God's word has given us all that we need for life and godliness, and his word only is the thing that we're going to take the journey into heaven. Only his word. My faith has separated me from my family, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that, because it is the truth. You might not want to talk about it. You might not want to admit it, and you might not ever want to respond to Christ, because you're holding on to your family, and your family can't put you in heaven. Your family can't save your soul. I'm just here to tell you that this morning. But it's necessary sometimes. Paul didn't, and I'm not going to complain about it at all either. I'm just stating facts. Sometimes we have to leave our family members and go with Jesus in order to be saved. Period. Period. It's hard. It's hard. But we're looking down the road to our reward. And that reward is more than enough to make us forget the struggles that we're going through here on this earth. Being alone is a hard thing. We're going to validate that. Being alone is a hard thing, and one of the hardest things which men must contend with. But thinking that you're alone is even more challenging. I wish I had some remedy to share with you to help you overcome that. But I found nothing like that with any lasting effect at all. Listen to me. God never designed man to be separated and apart from him. And what we are experiencing is not what God had in mind. But his word, his scriptures give us hope. Let's put it like this, social media. In God, we have a BFF. Best friend forever, that's for those of us who don't. Amen. We've got that in God. Psalm 37:25 says this, I was young, and now I'm old. Amen. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. I have never, ever seen the righteous forsaken. That includes you and you and you and you. It includes me. God will never forsake us. He says in verse number 28 of the same chapter, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. But wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. Listen, at times in my life when I'm all alone, at times in your life when you're all alone as well, married and still separated, living in the same house and still separated. God does not allow that in his house. If you're living in the house of God, you're not to be separated from God nor from one another. When I'm alone, when I'm all alone, I try to meditate on some of those things that God has afforded me in Christ. He has unconditional love for me. Listen to me. Unconditional love for me. For me. He's going to prepare a place for me, John 14, just for me. And when I get there, I'm going to dwell in the midst of the high and holy throne of God, and I won't be alone. The Revelator says, and I saw a number that no man can number. And that number was sweeping into heaven to be where God was. They were not alone, a number that no man, will you be in that number? Even if my friends have forsaken me, even when my family has rejected me, there's still some folks that God has beside me that's going to comfort me, that's going to encourage me. And though my family members have no use for me now, those who do are more precious to me than all the gold in the world could ever be. You see, when you're lonely and you're righteous, when you're lonely and you're a child of God, you have all the information you need to see you safely through, because God is guiding us. You know a passage of scripture that can lift your spirits? You know a hymn that means so much to you? And yet you know there are some biblical people that had things much worse than you do. Let your mind wrap around that infinite list of blessings that Jesus has in store for you. Here as well as in heaven. Wrap your mind around those things and don't dwell on being alone. If someone you know is alone, you encourage them. Pick up the phone and give them a call. They're having a hard time. You know what the ultimate surprise is? By helping them, you'll help yourself as well. But too many of us want to throw a pity party. Now, you don't know what I'm going through, Brother Collins. I'm alone because of this and that. Now, all of us are alone sometimes because the situation we put ourselves in. I'm not saying that it's purposeful. Things do happen. It's called happenstance. God talks about that. Things do happen, but some people purposely put themselves in the way of sin, and sin happens, and they separate themselves from God. And some people are too stubborn to even come to God for the help that they need. They don't want to talk about it. It's easy, church. Look, think about the spiritual qualities that you have that God has given you and encourage yourself in that. Make a list of things which inspire you to accomplish things spiritually. And above all of that, I need you to pray. Because when you pray, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words and groanings that we can't even understand. You're not alone when you pray. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, surely The arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have made you alone. Have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear. He says in Isaiah 59, verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Listen to what God says. My spirit who is in you will not depart from you. Somewhere over that rainbow is that promise. It will not depart from you, and my words that I put in your mouth will always be on your lips. What part of always don't you understand? On the lips of your children, on the lips of your descendants, from this time on and forever, you will never be forsaken by God. You got to answer that question. Do you enjoy being alone? Have you ever been alone? I don't necessarily mean, have you ever been without physical company in a room? I mean alone in your inner man, where you just can't find any peace at all. Feeling empty and incomplete, even in a crowd. Disconnected from the Spirit of God. This poem that I was reading a couple weeks ago, it's called Mask. I was once sad and lonely, having nobody to comfort me. So I wore a mask that always smiled to hide my feelings behind a lie. Before long, I had many friends. With my mask, I was one of them. But deep inside, I still felt empty, like I was missing a part of me. Nobody could hear my cries at night, for I designed my mask to hide the lies. Nobody could see the pain I was feeling, for I designed my mask to be laughing. Behind all the smiles were the tears, and behind all the comfort were the fears. Everything you think you see wasn't everything there was to me. Day by day, I was slowly dying. I couldn't go on. There was something missing. Until now, I'm still searching for the thing that'll stop my crying. For someone who will erase my fears, for the person who will wipe away my tears. But till then, I'll keep on smiling, hiding behind the mask that I'm wearing, hoping one day I can smile. Till then, I'll just be there alone and waiting. How long will you be there alone without God and just waiting? The question is, what are you waiting for? You don't have the answers to your salvation. God does. And as long as you sit there by yourself thinking that you have it all figured out, you are going to die. Slowly. But it's going to happen. And without God. Our Heavenly Father knows you, and he understands your pain in ways that no man or woman can. And he wants to help you. Will you not let him? You not let him? You not give him a chance? He died to show you how special you are to him. He continues to bless you in every good way, yet you think you've got it all figured out. I'm telling you, you are alone. God never designed man to be separated and apart from him. And what we are experiencing is not what God had in mind. Romans 14, 7 through 8. None of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. We are not. Amen. We're not alone. Not alone. This is not some kind of third world story where there's aliens out there and we wonder whether we're alone or not. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about a spiritual matter to spiritual people. You are not alone, for God is a spirit. And his spirit dwells within us, Emmanuel, God with us. Our worship service is to the Lord. We live to the Lord and we will die to the Lord. We are accountable to the Lord. And it's a point that so many Christians just forget. That's important to remember. The actions that you have, churches, is not about making us happy. Coming to services is not about pleasing the elders. Nothing that you do is about keeping the church off your back. What I think about you, what others think about you, and the condition of your soul is not relevant at all. What matters is your condition before the Almighty God. Because if you continue reading in Romans 14, you're going to see where he says that we all must stand before the judgment seat of God. And that's what it's all about. And when you stand there, you're going to be alone then. Amen. But those of us that die in Christ, we're not dying alone, we're dying in Christ. So stand. Stand before God. And stand before God even on this day. So when God looks at us, he sees the Christ in us, and we know that we are not. You can choose to be, but you don't have to be. You can answer the call of the gospel. He says in these words, it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God, John 6:45. Every man therefore that had heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Why? You don't have to be alone. Hear his word. You got to believe it. John 8:24, he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins alone. Believe it. We've got to repent of our sins. There are too many people that have never said they're sorry to their wives or their husband or their children, and they're living alone because they won't repent of their sins. You can't live that way, groping in darkness. Let God rescue you. Hear his word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Let's confess Christ. Let's confess him. The eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. You believe that Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I do. I believe it. Why do I believe it? Because when I was reading about him, I didn't know it was about him. You showed me that it was about the Christ, and I understood it. I accept and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. Peter said it, and God revealed it to him. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed this to you, that I am the Christ. And upon this rock I will build my church. The church came by revelation from God and not denomination from man. Hello. It was given to man by God so that he might not have to be alone. We are the body of Christ. An arm cannot live apart from the body. We are the body of Christ. A foot cannot live apart from the body. We are the body of Christ. Can't live alone. Hear his word. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let your heart call out to God and confess him with your mouth and be saved. Let God save your life. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3, 26 and following. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ. You're not alone because you put on Christ. You put him on. If we can help you today, not understand why you want to be alone, but to come out of that state of alone, let God be your savior. Let God be your rescuer. Don't sit there and think you got it all figured out and that your parents had it all figured out and that you're accepting your parents' religion. It's not about your parents' religion. It's about the faith that comes from God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God, not your grandmother or your grandfather. None of that, not even by me. Take it from God's word, that's where it comes from. And when you take it from God's word, church, you will never, ever be alone. If we can help you with that, why don't you come? We stand and sing God's invitation song.